Onu gelitim öğrendasya, jönen jöne aşıla kaya. Çakşurun mılıtam yeyna, tezmai svi gürbeyni maha. Vanşa kalpa turubyasca, kripa sindu bayi bıca. Paditanam pavane bio, vaishnave bio namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadeva Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So some of the verses didn't get taped yesterday. So I'm going to start with text 29. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam jighasum abhipreta vihaya nipalakshanam tataramulam shirasa samagad. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Purport: the royal dress of the personality of Kali is artificial. The royal dress is suitable for a king or kshatriya. But when a lower class man artificially dresses himself as a king, his real identity is disclosed by the challenge of a bona fide kshatriya like Maharaj Cricket. A real kshatriya never surrenders. He accepts the challenge of his rival kshatriya, and he fights either to die or to win. Surrender is unknown to a real kshatriya. In the age of Kali, there are many pretenders dressed and posed like administrators or executive heads. But their real identity is disclosed when they are challenged by a real kshatriya. Therefore, when the artificially dressed personality of God of Kali saw that the fight Maharaj Cricket was beyond his ability, he bowed down his head like a subordinate and gave up his royal dress. So again, different people come different days. We just give a short summary. We're all aware that Sutta Goswami is explaining the history of Maharaj Parikit, and in the beginning of this chapter, of course, Sutta Goswami in the previous chapter was inspired to speak about Maharaj Parikit by Shonaka Rishi, because it's in connection with Krishna. It's not in connection with Krishna, they're not interested. Even though everybody likes battles, wars, fights, there's so many words here, killing, swords, power, but it's about Krishna, they want to hear. So he was explaining the story. In this chapter, it got to the point where Maharaj Parikit actually came, and then he observed what was happening, and he saw the symptoms of Kali, that lower class administrators, lower class people or sudras would take the post of administrators and decry the principles of religion, and therefore there'd be an auspiciousness, and so many difficulties. So he saw that, and as a powerful king, he came to challenge. And this theme is actually, well, this theme has been gone through the last two chapters. It's only in the absence of such a powerful leader that Kali can flourish. And then he asked the bull, the personality of religion, who is represented as a bull, who has done this to you? And then he realized that the bull may be reluctant to identify the perpetrator, so he explained that it's actually the duty to kill one who is Bhuta Druhan, who terrifies the living entities and causes suffering to living entities. And in fact, if a king, this is his paro dharma, this is the supreme right thing that he's supposed to do. And if the king doesn't do it, then that's irreligion. Irreligion ultimately means not to do your duty, not to do what's right. That's what sin means. Sin means not to do what's right. So that was also explained. And then the bull responded by, in a very interesting way, by refusing to identify the perpetrator of his suffering. The words were actually vakya bedam vimohita. Vakya means words or doctrines. Bedha, like a chintya beda beda tattva, means different doctrines. Vimohita. He said, we're bewildered by all these different doctrines on who is the cause. And there are many different doctrines on who is the cause. Vikalpa, vasana, atmana, atmanam, something like that. Some say that the mind is the cause. Have you understood, Mother Gandharvika? Do you understand which philosophy that is? You can look at that verse. Let's see. But the other ones are understandable. Daivim is the superhuman cause. Both the impersonalist and the personalist have that view. Karma, jaimini, karma mamamsa, it's your work that's the cause. And swabhavam, material nature, just matter is the cause. So, the king was very impressed by this answer because it indicated to him that he was the personality of religion. And how? Because he clearly saw God as the cause. He clearly saw that the ultimate cause is God. And he not only understood that the ultimate cause is God, but he understood that that God is absolute and God is good. So he understood that the cause had a purpose. That ultimately our destiny, behind our destiny. This is actually described also in the topics of Bhishma Dev. A very interesting discussion of our destiny. That our destiny, that Kala means time. Time is a representative of Paramatma. Or Vishnu. Krishna is represented as time in this world. He observes our activities, and then in terms of time, gives us the fruits of our past activities for our enlightenment. In other words, he's observed our activities, and then it's Krishna who's moving matter around us in a very, very personal way to inspire us to further become realized, have further misconceptions. And we all experience that through our different experiences that we undergo. that we may not understand why they're happening. But as we're devotees and we go through life and see that each experience we have brought us, if we reacted to the experience in a spiritual way, if we reacted to the experience that this is coming from Krishna, why is he doing this? What is it in me that he wants changed by the experience that he's giving me? And if we somehow cling to that kind of understanding and realization, even though we struggle it, even though the person who does something to us, you know, we want to strangle him or curse him, or but if we somehow, you know, it's Krishna. Krishna is the cause. You somehow stick to that vision, which is very, very difficult to have that vision. Then what happens is we see the fruit of that experience in terms of our advancement and enlightenment. We see it, and then we understand that the experience that came in the past came personally. It was Krishna who knew us, and therefore move matter around us in that personal way by, like, you know, like we're a Wall Street broker and the green that was in our hand began to disappear as the stock market crashed. Or whatever happened to us, whatever, even when someone has a disease, a fatal disease, the transformation of the body, which is just matter caused by time, is for the enlightenment of that particular person. Krishna's job is very, very difficult. Because he can't force us to become enlightened. He can only inspire us. And therefore, there's very creative movements of matter around us that are personally directed to the thing in our heart that must go next. He has a particular order. So when you get rid of one thing, then the next thing comes, and the next thing. You ever notice that? It never stops. See, he's working that way. So because he saw this, he said, "You are our religion," and you are in the form of bull. You know the truth, and you're speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator, no other than the personality of religion. Very heavy statement, but I was thinking of this too. I remember sometimes when I would, you know, I would feel harassed by different people, and, you know, people are so mean sometimes, and you feel like, you know, you feel like strangling them or something. And then I'd speak to Borijan or something. He said, you know, don't get angry with him, you know, because then you'll have to come back to get him. You know, it's the same destination. If you perpetrate some irreligious act, not seeing that Krishna is the supreme controller, or you react to that act, not seeing that Krishna is the supreme controller, you get karma. Of course, generally it's worse to be the perpetrator, but generally the concept is there. Same thing if you do not see Krishna. Because he so clearly saw Krishna, even though he was being beaten, who has done this? And he didn't, you know, jump up and, you know, he clearly saw that this is Krishna. Someone, he's moving the matter of someone's body to do something to me because that person himself has some sinful desires in his heart that are fructifying, and therefore I'm going to use that person. But he sees that he doesn't see the person's sinful desires causing him the pain. He sees Krishna causing him the pain due to his own sinful desires. And he tries to kind of link them up. This is moving around me now. What's in there that caused it? What does Krishna want removed? What does Krishna want changed? So he was so impressed. And then he began to describe. knowing that the personality of Dharma himself was before him, Prakshit began to describe the principles of religion. That in the age of Satyayuga, you had four legs that were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Pride destroys austerity. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness. Intoxication destroys mercy. And lying and deceit destroys truthfulness. And Prabhupada made a very interesting point here that to get rid of Maya, you just have to change your consciousness to surrender. Because it's a lack of surrender and a desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, which is a position we cannot have by our constitution. That consciousness, Krishna reciprocates with that consciousness by putting us in illusion, by putting us in Maya. So to get out of Maya, you have to change the consciousness. And changing the consciousness means to surrender. And surrender is only possible if you follow religious principles. If you're engaged in intoxication and illicit sex and pride and lying and meat eating, and you can't surrender to Krishna. Because you're not surrendered to Krishna, because these are also his will. And these activities, they destroy your austerity, they destroy your cleanliness. I remember one time, there was one GBC, he was quite flamboyant, but he was expert at getting things clean. And he came and things were very, dirty, in one room, and he walked in and he said, trying to be Krishna conscious in a place that's dirty is like trying to tread water and eat at the same time. So he's explaining, and now you're only on one leg, which is truthfulness, and deceit is flourishing, and it's just trying to destroy that leg. People are, not honest. And because of this, the chaste one, the cow, Sochati, lamenting Ashrukala, tears in their eyes, forlorn, Krishna has left, being enjoyed and ruled by someone, a Brahmanya, without the culture, Nipavyaja, posed as a ruler. And therefore, Marge Prickett, we're getting to it, who was Maharati, he could fight with 1,000 enemies single-handedly. He took up his sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the Adharma Hetava, the cause, the root cause of all sin. And now today's verse, we see that when the strong leader comes forth with that power, then automatically the low class man who is just dressed as a king, then Samagad fully surrendered, Boya Vibala, under pressure of this is not a real Kshatriya. Real Kshatriya does not surrender. He fights. Fights to the death. Marge Prickett, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. So Saranya, one who is qualified to accept surrender, why Dina Vatsal? Because he was kind to the poor. He was compassionate. This is the qualified leader. The qualified leader has kindness. And when he lacks the kindness, he loses really the Shakti to lead. This is the qualified leader. The king thus said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna, So I have a dynasty. I have a tradition. Therefore, I will have, therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life, but you can, you, but you cannot remain in my kingdom if you are the friend of irreligion, a dharma bandhu. If you associate with irreligion, then you're not welcome here. Strong, strong leader. And we can even see that sense, at least within our temples, there should be Brahminical culture. Because they're supposed to be shelters, and the leader should be strong, that those who are dharma bandhu, they should not stay in the temple. If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man god or executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will be abound. So if irreligion, pride, lack of austerity, illicit sex, no cleanliness, inside or out, gambling, no truthfulness. This is there. So Prabhupada, the point he makes, the principal religions are not dogmas or principles of a certain faith. These are dharman to sakshat bhagavat pranita. These are coming from God. A secular state may be impartial, may be impartial to any particular type of faith, but the state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion as mentioned above. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifice according to truth and religious principles. Dharmena satyena, when they sincerely perform dharma for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You do not deserve to remain with sacrifices performed sincerely. Satyena, with truth. Dharma projita kaitava, where cheating is kicked out of religion. Where people are sincere. We want to satisfy God. We're not in religion for our own material benefit. So is that mood of dharma satyena, religion, the truth, performing according to truth and religious principles. What is it? Brahmavarte, a place where sacrifice is performed. Krishna's satisfaction. That's why the sages of Navasharanya are performing sacrifice themselves at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Because where that sacrifice is performed, then Kali cannot enter. A nice example is this: Radhanath Swami Maharaj is here with his group. Such a strict standard they keep in their center. And there's so much kirtan and chanting. You can see, you go there, that Kali cannot enter. It's as good as having a strong king. And that was Prabhupada's point. The absence of a strong king, if this powerful sacrifice is going on, Lord Chaitanya preached this method of yajna, and it is understood from this verse that the sacrificial method of Sankirtan yajna may be performed anywhere and everywhere, in order to drive away the personality of Kali and save human society from falling prey to the influence of the age. So this is there. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, but Bhagavan, Hadir, Yasmin, Hadir, Bhagavan, Ijimana, being worshipped, Hari, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ija Atma, the soul of all worshipful deities, in all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped because he is the super soul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is he only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. Now we go to the next section. Sita Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Prickett, began to tremble in fear, seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him. Kali spoke to the king as follows. So he Vaiputu, trembling. Why? Udyatasim. His sword was raised, dandapanim, like the personality of death. Prabhupada said, the king or the executive head must be so strong as to stand before the personality of Kali, like the personality of death, Yamaraj. The king's order must be obeyed, otherwise the culprit's life is at risk. I'm just saying, when I'm seeing Vrindavan and all, so much garbage, and people pass stool anywhere, and these dacoits, and all these things can distract one from devotional service. It'd be nice to have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some strong leader, to protect us, to protect the environment, to protect the cows, to protect the citizens. O your majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, I shall but see you with bows and arrows wherever I look. Tatra, tatra, everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. What? Ishu, arrows, sharasanam, and your bows. This is the presence of a leader. Everywhere his presence is felt. I remember, too, the same leader that kept things clean. I mean, he had some real leadership qualities. You know, and you felt his presence so powerfully. It was a fact that you felt his presence anywhere, and the whole place, maybe sit properly or feeling something. You felt his presence everywhere. And everyone, there was a healthy fear. The place was spotlessly clean. And it was, you know, I remember too, he was in Mayapur. There's a piece of, you know, you hear him yelling off the balcony on the top, you know. You know, what's going on there? You know, just, and everything would be spotlessly clean. You know, the presence of that they actually, real strong, powerful leaders, they also can have mystic powers. Their influence is felt. Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion. So this is Kali saying, Dharma, Vritan Shrestha, O protector of, in other words, protector of religion, I surrender to you. And what is basically religion? If you surrender to God or his representative, they reciprocate. So, O protector of religion, Dharma, Vritan Shrestha, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Purport. The personality of Kali, addressed Maharaj Prickett, is the chief amongst the protectors of religiosity because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered soul from all sins and all resultant reactions of sinful acts. So he protects the surrendered souls from all sins and all resultant reactions. So he's surrendering. And the king is Naradev. So please, where can I live? Sita Goswami said, Maharaj Prickett thus being petitioned by the personality of Godhead, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter will be performed. So, there'll be no austerity, cleanliness, mercy, or truthfulness in these places. And sometimes this is, I think, related in another way. I'm not sure I saw it, but truthfulness destroys gambling. Now, Prabhupada said that intoxication destroys austerity. Prostitution destroys cleanliness. And animal slaughter can destroy what? And destroy mercy. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses Pravritti and Nivritti Marg. And it's very interesting because Pravritti Marg means that these adharmic activities, in one sense, can be regulated. So the king can regulate these activities. So it's the fact that he's asking me him for, you know, some place to reside. The king can regulate these activities, and Jiva Goswami discusses that drinking, are against the regulative principles, all these activities. But then he explains, but those in the lowest stage, sacrifices are recommended. And then Jiva Goswami affirms that recommendations in the scriptures for a certain class of men are never to be considered a dharma or irreligious, but such activities are factually a dharma, and they are never to be encouraged. In other words, they can be regulated, but they're factually a dharma, and they should never be encouraged. So this is it, you know, the recommendation of scripture is not meant for the encouragement, but for regulating them. Just like there's one law in America, I think, that you can't have more than one bar on a street or something. In some towns, it's like that. So every block is a bar. So Prabhupada said there's no such rule for, like, bakeries. It means that it's not recommended, it's not wanted, and therefore it's regulated. So then Prabhupada makes his own recommendations. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prickett, it is the duty of all executive heads to see that the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, are established in the state, and that the principles of irreligion, namely pride, illicit female association, intoxication, and falsity, are checked by all means. So sometimes Prabhupada also says this, that he relates that, because it's also mentioned before, that austerity is ruined by pride, cleanliness by illicit sex. Intoxication destroys mercy, and falsity destroys truthfulness. Describes like that also. So they may be regulated, but in no circumstance should they be encouraged by any state. In other words, the state should categorically stop all gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. I can just see, you know, this gambling. The prophet said, "What in Bhagavad Gita, of gambling I am the chief." And you see, what is gambling? It's a tax on the poor people. Because they're thinking, if I could win on the way here, actually there's one person that wrote me, you know, he said, "I have a problem with one of the regulative principles." He said, you know, "I'm addicted to the lottery." I said, "Oh, sure." But you see, all these poor people, they line up in America. This is, they have this one thing, like with this, each state has a lottery, but some states are too small, so they pool together. And, you know, it goes up to like $75 million or $100 million you could win. But it's such cheating because they collect like $500 million. And people, they were traveling out of states. They were lining up to get these tickets, and their chances of winning were like 1 in 100 million, you know, and they were, you know, they were spending all their money, you know, just said it's so cheating. So here's Prabhupada's following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prickett, 2 compulsory fasting days in a month, if not more. Even from the economic point of view, such 2 fasting days in a month, and the state will save tons of food, and the citizens also act very favorably on the general health of the state. There must be compulsory marriage of young boys and girls attaining 24 years of age and 16 years of age, respectively. There is no harm in co-education in the schools and colleges, provided the boys and girls are duly married. Heavy. And in the case there is any intimate connection between a male and female student, they should be married properly, without illicit relation. The Divorce Act is encouraging prostitution, and this should be abolished. The citizens of the state must give in charity up to 50% of their income for the purpose of creating a spiritual atmosphere in the state of human society, both individually and collectively. They should preach Bhagavad Dharma, the principle of Bhagavatam, by karma yoga, or doing everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. Regular hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam from authorized persons. This is how the money should be spent. Or realized soul. Chanting of the glories of the Lord congregationally, at home, or at place of worship. Rendering all kinds of service to Bhagavatas. Engaged in preaching Bhagavatam. Residing in a place where the atmosphere is saturated God consciousness. The state is regulated by the above process. Naturally, there'll be God conscious everywhere. This is very heavy. Gambling of all description, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading. And when gambling is encouraged in the state, there is complete disappearance of truthfulness. So Prabhupada goes on. Intoxication of all description, even smoking cigarettes, chewing tobacco, or the drinking of tea must be prohibited. Dadu, what would happen if we had a saintly leader who prohibited the drinking of tea in India?
You have to consider that it is really possible for the leader to override the influence of mind.
It's going to be tough, right? Because you see,
the Kogi and Maya are created by Krishna himself. And it is really possible for us to do this. Individual surrender to this thing, it is good to us to enlighten us, to catch it, and apply it in our practical day to day life. Individual effort to this thing, collectively, not practical.
Administration and management has to be there, but we have to try to enlighten the people. That's why most of the money is spent on propagating the Bhagavatam. But I was thinking too, this one man, Bhagaji, he used to be here, an Indian man, and he used to serve Prabhupada a bit. He gave the land for the Gurukul. So he used to come and tell Prabhupada Hindi jokes. And I don't know what the joke was, but I remember the joke was about 2 sadhus in India. And it had something to do about going to the spiritual world, or not wanting to go to the spiritual world because there was no Lipton tea and Britannica biscuits. But something like that was there. He liked that, right? The personality of Kali asked for something more. And because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. So this is very interesting too. He gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold. Because where there is gold, then all the above mentioned four things are, and above them is empty. So the prophet said the personality of Kali became gold standardized. And you can see how it leads to such an unnatural economy and such a sinful life. They standardize the gold and then they print money. And even a gold standard exchange in currency is bad. Gold standard currency is based on falsehood because the currency is not on par with the reserve gold. The basic principle is falsity because currency notes are issued in value beyond that of actual reserve gold. This artificial inflation of currency by the authorities encourages prostitution of the state of economy. The price of commodities becomes artificially inflated because of bad money or artificial currency notes. Bad money drives away good money. It's so unstable. If the world collapses, the economy collapses, India, they think, will have the best chance.
You can catch the vice versa.
India has the best chance because, you know, 80% of the people still live in the villages. They're not dependent on. Instead of paper currency, actual gold coin should be used for exchange, and this will stop prostitution of gold. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. This will discourage lust, envy, enmity. Anyway, this is... Thus, the personality of Kali, by the direction of Maharaj Prickett, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas, and sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above mentioned irreligious principles. So it says, na sevata, never come in contact, bubusa, those who are desiring well-being, quachit, in any circumstances, they should, in any circumstance, never come in contact with these things, in any circumstances. If you desire progressive well-being. And then it says, visheshita, specifically or especially the raja or the king, lokapati, the public leaders, and guru, the Brahmins and sannyasis, should never come in contact. And Prabhupada says in the purport, if a Brahmin is not truthful, all his claims of Brahmin becomes null and void. If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims of sannyasi become false. Similarly, if the king and public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public activities. Truthfulness is the basic principle of all religion. The four leaders of human society, namely sannyasis, Brahmins, king, and public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual or material master of society, he must be tested by the above-mentioned criteria. Such public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualification, but it is necessary primarily that they are free from the contamination of four disqualifications, gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. I don't want to make, you know, this a popular class, but, you know, Bill Clinton comes to mind. You know, illicit sex, truthfulness. I did not, you know, you just out and outright lied, Dada. Out and outright lied.
When Krishna does one kripa individually, he gets over all these difficulties. The collective effort, which has been seen from the scene, for example, in Russia, in China,
yeah.
When they're very forceful collective effort, they're the Navy.
But it's not exactly a good analogy, because the leaders were themselves sinful. But if there's a powerful leader, more can be done.
That hypothesis does not come because of the overriding influence of Kavi.
Therefore, there must be propagation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what Prabhupada's saying. But still, within a group, I'll give you an example. You look at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Huh? Was it better when we had strong leadership or not?
It would have been better, but that hypothesis does not come. Because of the influence of Krishna does not want it to come. Mass majority will go a wrong way. But you select.
Your point is that Kali Yuga's influence generally is such
that allowing Kali to
enter. But you see, but Prabhupada in the purport says this too. He says, even Kali's influence is there, we have to counteract it. He said, just like we may know it's rain, but we still get an umbrella. So even though the influence is there,
that also depends on Krishna.
But we have to make some effort. We have to do our duty.
Just for our very good effort, the people who are coming for leadership are not good. They don't need it.
All right, you're just resigned to the fact that the management is cursed. Okay, what can I say?
We have been processed through such experience.
Anyway, good management, bad management, you'll still deliver the mail. Thereafter, the king reestablished the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Now, this is a very interesting point, and it's brought out in a commentary by Jiva Goswami, and Prabhupada mentions it in the purport, that what Maharaj Prickett did, because what are you going to do with all the wealth? You can collect the wealth, but it has to be used for religious purposes. So what
Who is going to build the cave? Who is going to build the cave? There is not a single individual in this community. And ultimately, whole thing will be destroyed by deluge or something or other. And a
Daru.
Like Satyajit will come again.
Daru. Daru.
It's like a Rotary Club.
Daru. What about Jyoti Basu?
He's a rascal of the worst type, but the product and illegitimate son of Kali.
He's the communist leader of Bengal for so many years.
Leading up after.
Okay. Let us see what Prabhupada says here, and we can see how to apply it. I know your pessimism. You're an old man, and you've seen a lot. But the point. All right, let me go on. Okay, but the point is there. The point is there that still there's free will, and we have to try to act in maybe in a small group. Maybe we can't do it for the whole world.
Small group is impossible.
Okay. 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 Let's go on.
China. Tell us the truth about it. The massive effort has been a disaster.
Okay. I'm going to wait what Jiva Goswami says.
Yes.
Okay.
You were saying maybe good efforts for what you are making.
All right, because I also want to finish today here. Actually, I have a few more verses. So. By designating, this is the purport, particular place of the personality of Kali, Maharaj Prickett practically cheated Kali. Okay. He at once took proper steps to reestablish the legs of the bull, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. For the general benefit of the people of the world, he saw that the gold stock might be employed for stabilization. Gold is certainly a generator of falsity, intoxication, prostitution, enmity, and violence. But under the guidance of a proper king or public leader or brahmana sannyasi, the same gold can be properly utilized to reestablish the lost legs of the bull, the personality of Godhead. Marge Prickett, therefore, like his grandfather Arjuna, collected all illicit gold for the propensities of Kali and employed it in Sankirtan Yajna as per instructions of the Bhagavatam. So this is the point that Prabhupada's making, that the wealth has to be collected. Everything must be used in Krishna's service, otherwise Kali will grab it. So we also have to take the wealth. We have to be pure enough to do it, but we also have to take the wealth and engage it properly. Prabhupada, there's a story with Borijan. There was a book distribution controversy, and Borijan told Prabhupada, "We are not interested in money." He made some comment. You know, we're interested in, and then Prabhupada chastised him and said, "If we don't grab money for Krishna, Kali will get it." And then Borijan also told a nice story how he, when he was working outside, after a while he left to work outside, and every month he was giving a check, and he was feeling very, very humble, and that he wasn't preaching, and Prabhupada was so appreciative to him that he was giving. And Jiva Goswami comments, "The method of driving out the illicit use of gold, which forces irreligion, is that gold should be collected for religious wealth. So 50% of wealth should be given to the Brahmins. Prickett tricked Kali by saying you could stay wherever gold is, but there was no place in his kingdom where people would amass gold except for religious purposes." So this is what Prabhupada in the purport is speaking. People have to be taught to sacrifice their wealth for the Lord's service, and that will establish religion. The most fortunate emperor, Maharaj Prickett, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. So they say that Maharaj Prickett, after Yudhisthira, is now ruling. And it says, the word is, Etarhi. At the present, Adhyaste is ruling over. So he said that the discussion here on that word is very interesting because it's the present tense. So Prabhupada discusses it. "The prolonged sacrificial ceremonies undertaken by the sage of Namashranya will begin shortly after the demise of Maharaj Prickett. The sacrifice was to continue for 1,000 years, and it's understood that in the beginning, some of the contemporaries of Baladev, the elder brother of Lord Krishna, also visited the sacrificial place. According to some authorities, the present tense is also used to indicate the nearest margin of time from the past. In that sense, the present tense is applied to the reign of Maharaj Prickett here. For a continuous fact, also present tense can be used. The principles of Maharaj Prickett can still be continued, and human society can be improved if there's determination by the authorities." And then Prabhupada talks about the contradiction in the modern states. The contradiction is, he says, they want the kingdom of God without God consciousness. They want to issue licenses for gambling houses, wine and other intoxicating drug houses, brothels, hotel prostitution and cinema houses, and falsity in every dealing, even in their own state. And at the same time, they want to drive out corruption from the state. At the same time. How can it be possible to adjust two contradictory matters? If we want to drive out corruption, we must organize society to accept the principles of religion. And we must close all places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. These are some of the practical lessons from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the final verse, Maharaj Prickett, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. Just interesting. This is Sutta Goswami speaking to the sages. So he's saying that Maharaj Prickett, the son, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it is possible for us to perform the sacrifice. So what he's saying is that by the king, it's been possible for us to do this yajna. You know, by Maharaj Prickett's rule, because obviously, because Balaram had visited the sacrifice had started. And then, while the sacrifice, I guess, was started, then Maharaj Prickett was also enthroned, and it was also going on after Maharaj Prickett left the planet also, the sacrifice. But they're saying the sacrifice was possible by the strong kings. That's how it was possible. It says, Haliyata, on account of his ruling, Satraya were performing sacrifice. Dikshita was initiated on his power and ruling. So it's actually what it's doing. It's foretelling what will happen, because what will happen is that the in the next chapter, the Brahmins do not patronize the king. And Sringi insulted Maharaj Prickett, and then Kali entered. Now they're having sacrifice, and they're able to do something because the Brahmins are patronized by the strong kings. So Sita Goswami is saying, by Maharaj Prickett's mercy, we're having sacrifice. And then it's going to foretell in the future what happens when this doesn't happen. So the king makes the condition possible, and thus the sages of Namasharanya were able to perform the sacrifice for 1,000 years. In other words, without state support, no doctrine or philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. There should be complete cooperation between the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas for the common good. The Kshatriyas, they have to support the Brahminical activities, and then the state flourishes. When it doesn't happen, then the principle of religion cannot be established.
Where is the cooperation?
What?
Where is the cooperation?
It's not happening now, and therefore there's problems. Because it's not happening, there's problems. But no, there's destiny and free will. We have the ability to react. This is Lord Chaitanya's golden age. By the Sankirtan movement, things Kali will be counteracted. We have that faith.
That's why he has to come repeatedly again and again. What he arranges is again undone.
I think we agree, Dadu.
Again undone. And he has to come down again. And again it shall be undone. This is the process. The two things.
But still you deliver the mail. Still you do your duty. Right?
Side by side coexistence of like Godstream and liberal locality.
About what?
Two opposite forces are going side by side. And only the individual, fortunate individual, can take advantage of the advices they have given
for us. When the Brahmins are state supported, and the Brahmins can inspire you.
And the holy influence of holy will restrain them from doing it.
Yes.
So does Krishna desire. It is his master plan that is working. And the whole thing will be destroyed, deluged, and it has to be created as praise, which is the
I think you're agreeing with Sutta Goswami that when the Brahmins are supported, people become enlightened. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. We went a little longer today because I had to finish the section. Tom. Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutta Uvacha Yovai Vranyastra Vipushto Namatur Udare Mrita Anubruhad Bhagavata Krishnasyad Bhuta Karmana. Sri Suta Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Marge Prickett, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. Purport. The sages of Naimi Sharanya became struck with wonder after hearing about the wonderful administration of Maharaj Prickett, especially in reference to his punishing the personality of Kali and making him completely unable to do any harm within the kingdom. Suta Goswami was equally anxious to describe Maharaj Prickett's wonderful birth and death, and this verse is stated by Suta Goswami to increase the interest of the sages of Naimi Sharanya. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vaibhacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the life history of Maharaj Prickett is continuing to be told by Suta Goswami to the sages of Namisharanya, who are not interested to hear anything or any subject matter if it's not connected with Krishna, because it simply wastes the human form of life. We described destiny yesterday, how our matter moves around us by the influence of time, which is Krishna. And each transformation of matter around us is a unique opportunity for enlightenment. I think if we just react to our destiny in a Krishna conscious way, we can actually go back to Godhead. If from the very beginning, it's Krishna's plan. Of course, if you're very impure in the heart, it may be a little bit more turbulent externally. But if you can just react to it your whole life, and if you can see Krishna your whole life behind every activity, and therefore understand what Krishna wants from you in each instant, then I think that each soul can go back to Godhead in one life if he reacts in the proper way, or he can make a lot of advancement. So each moment is meant to be used for enlightenment. And therefore, if we waste even a moment, if we waste a day, if we waste our youth, we're wasting very valuable opportunities to elevate our consciousness. Actually, it's going to come up, the same point's going to come up when we see how Maharaj Prickett reacts to the transformation in his destiny called annihilation of the material body, and how he reacts to it in such a wonderful way. So they're interested to hear about this, and we just heard two chapters about the administration of Maharaj Prickett. Two very powerful chapters where I'm not going to go over the details, but we saw the influence of Kali. And I was actually mentioning to Gandharvika Mataji before the class that somehow or other there's such a unity between everything that's discussed. Because if you study carefully from the very beginning, the main theme is Kali Yuga is coming. And it's pretty cool in one sense for spiritual life. In one sense, it's means unfavorable. So, prayin alpaya shashu ha kalabas min yugage anaha manda sumanda mateo manda bhaga upaduta. People just by nature are short-lived, lazy, misguided, unfortunate, always disturbed. The atmosphere has so many distractions in it. We see that. And then it's always being described that the what to do, that was the whole questions of the sage of Namasharanya. They were there at the beginning. What to do about this? And what to do means that we must invoke the presence of Krishna, because when there's Krishna, there's the manifestation of religious principles, which enables us to surrender to him, which counteracts the root cause of us being influenced by Kali Yuga, which means our lack of surrender, our desire not to be a devotee, our desire to be the controller and the enjoyer and not be Krishna's servant. So Krishna's presence is there, and the whole Bhagavatam, and then we get to this part of politics, sociology, administration, management. And what is the underlying theme? Not just the story, but what is the message? The message that we've just heard is that the symptoms of irreligion, of Kali Yuga, the symptoms only flourish in the absence of Krishna, in the absence of Krishna's representative. They cannot flourish in the presence of Krishna and Krishna's representative and the propagation of the holy name of Krishna, his name, form, pastimes, which are none different than him. They cannot be present when that is manifest. And we saw just at the end of the last chapter, where because Maharaj Prickett, he's everywhere and every, you know, a strong king, his presence is everywhere in the kingdom. And therefore Kali surrendered to him. Please, you know, give me shelter. Where can I stay? This is who I am. Must give me some place to stay. And he said, yes, you can stay in these five places. Places of prostitution, gambling, illicit sex, and slaughtering animals. Well, there's nowhere, then that means, that's another way of saying that there's no place for me. He said, okay, where gold is accumulated. And Prabhupada talked about you can see the Western economy growing from this gold standardization, where they accumulate all the gold and then print paper. And you can see the artificial economy that grows, which is also very suited to the other theme there about the cow and the bull representing religion. Because it means when they're protected, then you have a different type of economy. You have a economy of simple living where the human form of life, which is meant for high thinking, can be nourished. So the strong administrator is necessary to keep out the agents of Kali so that one can engage in the Yuga Dharma of glorifying Krishna. And therefore, the last verse is, therefore the sages were having the sacrifice. Because of Maharaj Prickett. Because the king was protecting the Brahmins. Therefore, they were allowed to have the sacrifice. Because of his power, they were allowed to have the sacrifice. Now, the history is going to continue. Because we've heard about his birth. We've heard about his pre-birth. We've heard about his activities. But the sages of Namasharanya, they also wanted to hear about his wonderful death. They wanted to hear about his wonderful death, how exciting and glorious his death was. Very rare that a person is glorious in his birth, glorious in his life, and glorious in his death. More and more in Kali Yuga, the first part you won't see. Glorious in the birth. By Guru Kripa, maybe the activities and the death will become more auspicious. A lot of times we see not even the activities. It comes down to the death. Most of our devotees, we see, you know, we have stories where they did a little service, but their general lives wasn't so... But some mercy was there, and the death became auspicious. So therefore, he's going to continue his narration of the wonderful birth and death of Maharaj Prickett. And because he's a preacher and he's a speaker to ensure the interest of the sages of Namasharanya, he briefly summarizes Maharaj Prickett's extraordinary life and extraordinary activities, beginning here in this verse by describing how he had the mercy of Krishna. And if anything, this was his main quality. Because right from the womb, Krishna protected him. And he got to see Krishna right in the womb. He saw Krishna, and therefore he's Parikshit. It means that he's the examiner. He was always looking for that personality. And this is actually the process of Krishna consciousness, that you have to get that impression of Krishna in your heart. It creates the eagerness, that eagerness in the heart that you want to see Krishna, you want to associate with Krishna. You want to serve Krishna. He had that right from his birth. Extraordinary mercy. Dadu? Mm-hmm. Any comment here?
My comments, my honesty,
your comments are always enlightening. Nectarian.
Our surrender, our appeal, our sincerity in our appeal. It's most important. If it is there, it is 100% successful. You don't need to do anything else at all.
Our sincerity?
Sincerity. Depth of our heart. It should come from nothing else. No adulteration in it. If we make that appeal, he's always so very kind. If we go one step ahead towards him, he will come 10 steps towards us.
Bhakti means sincerity. Sincerity means without motive. Without motive. Sincerity means I'm a devotee. Devotee means I want to please Krishna, and there's nothing else hidden. It's not mixed with anything else. So bhakti is sincerity. And when there's sincerity, then there's success. Because that's what that Krishna reciprocates. We'll go on with Sutta Goswami explaining about a little summary here. Brahmakopatitajastu takshakat prana viplavat Nasamu moho rubayad bhagavad yarpit tasaya Furthermore, Maharaj Prickett was always consciously surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmin boy. He was consciously surrendered. And what does consciously surrendered mean? Consciously surrendered to Krishna means, he was consciously surrendered means that at every moment he was searching for Krishna's will and desire. At every moment he was thinking, what does Krishna want? What does Krishna want? He had no separate interest, no personal interest. So he was, it's very significant, arpita saya. His consciousness was always surrendered. And because his consciousness was always surrendered, then samu moha, he was never overwhelmed or illusioned. Because he always wanted to be what he is, which is Krishna's servant. He didn't want, you only get illusion when you want something which you're not. When you want what you are, then there's no reason for Krishna to have put you in illusion. It's only when you want something that you're not that he puts you in illusion. So he was never overwhelmed. He was always secure. He was always satisfied in any circumstance. Because every circumstance was coming by Krishna for Maharaj Prickett's service and purification, which makes one a better servant. And Uruvayat, and he never had any fear. So just see, he's glorifying him. He was so surrendered. And thus, he was fearless. Fearless. There's no fear for a surrendered soul. Because he always has what he wants. He's never threatened that his attachments can be taken away. Because his only attachment is Krishna's service. And Krishna's service is there at every moment. This purport is very nice. I'm going to read. A self-surrendered devotee of the Lord is called Narayana Parayana. Such a person is never afraid of any place or person, not even of death. For him, nothing is as important as the Supreme Lord, and thus he gives equal importance to heaven and hell. He knows well that both heaven and hell are creations of the Lord. And similarly, life and death are different conditions of existence created by the Lord. But in all conditions, in all circumstances, remembrance of Narayana is essential. This was actually, the Narayana Parayana practices this constantly. This is actually a verse from Vritrasura, who actually said that. Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschinya Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Apitulyarshadarshana. One who is Narayana Parayana, who has deep affection for the Supreme Lord, Apitulyatadarshana. He's always satisfied. Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu. Swaga, the heavenly planets, Pavaga, the earth, Narakeshu, the hellish planets. He's always satisfied. Because each circumstance is equally beneficial for his service to Krishna. The circumstance that's most beneficial to our service to Krishna is the circumstance he puts us in. That's what service is. You go here, you do this. And our destiny is just Krishna saying, you go here, you do this. Maharaj Prickett was such, he was wrongfully accused by an inexperienced son of a Brahmin who was under the influence of Kali, and Maharaj Prickett took this to be sent by Narayan. Again, the connection, he saw religion. He saw religion. He saw Krishna in everything. He knew that Narayan, Lord Krishna, had saved him when he was burned in the womb of his mother and if he were to be killed by a snake bite, it would also take place by the will of the Lord. The devotee never goes against the will of the Lord. Anything sent by God is a blessing for the devotee. Therefore, Maharaj Prickett was neither afraid nor bewildered by such thing. That is the sign of a pure devotee. He goes against the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is also destiny for one. And he understood that that's God's will, that I die. Yes, I will die.
Also, he did a highly improper work.
What?
Parikshit, that good man Parikshit. It was not his nature to behave like that, but he did that. Being the master plan of Krishna, when he was provoked, because Sunik Muni, when he was in his meditation, he did not respond to his summon. He asked for some drinking water. And then, being angry, he took up a dead snake from there and coiled it around the neck of Sunik Muni. It was a gross improper, but even then he did that. It was all a master plan of Krishna. So the good man does the bad work. All according to
him. But it wasn't that serious that he should be cursed to die.
He was angry.
But not that serious. And therefore, Prabhupada, it's going to be discussed in this chapter how it's described that it's unprecedented. It's like that.
And he provoked his son, angry son, irate son, to sing it, to curse him, and made it possible for that assembly to be there by the side of the Ganges. And should they arrive there, in the meantime, his education is complete. He has arrived there. He was not sought out. And it all worked as an automatic plan. He arrived there and he spoke for 7 days. And first time in the material world that Srimad Bhagavatam was published. All according to the master plan. Good work, bad work, everything being done. In the good man will do bad work.
You're harping on some theme. Okay. We go on. Uttrijaha sarvata sangam vigyata jita samstita vayasake jaho shisho gangayam swam kalevaram. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas, Sukadev Goswami. And thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. So now it describes that he was a surrendered soul. See, it described that he got the mercy of God, he was fearless. And this also describes his glory, that he surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas, Vyasakir, to Sukadeva Goswami. And therefore, he was able to understand the Lord's actual position. It describes ajita. Ajita samstiti. Samstiti means actual position. He was actual, understand the actual position of God. And the purport Prabhupada discusses this, that ajita means unconquerable. But it also means that he's unknowable. No one can know the samstiti, the actual position of God. You cannot know. He's unconquerable by knowledge alone. He's ajita. So he cannot be known. And then Prabhupada in the purport talks about dham. The actual position. So Prabhupada's talking that the this word samstita, actual position, means that it means the Lord's abode. His king, the position of the Supreme Lord, his actual abode. He was actually able to understand that. He's actually understand Krishna's transcendental abode. So this samstita, his the actual position of God, his dham, his residence, his. So you can understand this. And how did he understand the dham, the Lord's situation, the Lord's place? That he sishyo, jaho, he became a disciple of Sukadeva Goswami. And therefore, although the Lord is Ajita, unconquerable or unknown, by the grace of Guru, he was able to conquer the Lord. He was able to know the Lord. He was able to understand him. And therefore, he was also able to renounce the world. Because he understood the Ajita Samstita, the actual situation of the Supreme Lord, then he was able to give up the material world. And Prabhupada discusses this. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand the quality of the Lord's energy that is superior to the material quality of energy. And by the grace of a bona fide spiritual master like Sukadeva Goswami, it is possible to know everything of the superior energy of the Lord by which the Lord manifests his eternal name, quality, pastimes. Unless one understands this superior or eternal energy, it is not possible to leave the material energy. Can't leave the material energy just by Gyan, because Gyan won't clean the heart. Only from Krishna consciousness. Now here it also mentions, Prabhupada also quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, the verse, Vishyavinivartante niraharasya dayana raso rajam raso pyasya param drisva nivartate. You have to understand the param drisva, the superior taste. And what's the superior taste? The superior taste is ajita samstita. It's the Lord's abode. It's the Lord's position. It's the Supreme Lord. By the grace of the spiritual master, one can understand this. And by this, you can renounce the world because you have a higher taste. And same thing. Vedeshu dulabham, adulabham atmabhakta. Very difficult, even by the Vedas. By the mercy, by bhakti, then one can understand. So he's describing his Notama shloka vartanam jushatam tatkatam ritam syat sambramo takalepi smaratam tatpadam bujam. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives. So this was so. What was so? He was able to understand the Lord's position. Why was he able to understand the Lord's position? This was so that he became eternal, that he became, he was able to understand the Lord's position because Uttama Shloka Vartanam. Uttama Shloka means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedics sing. And Vartanam, Vartanam means of those who live on them. Because he dedicated his lives to the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Jushatam, Tat Katamritam. And Jushatam means Jushatam means of those who are engaged in Katamvatam and are constantly engaged in remembering, then they can achieve the highest of perfection. They can achieve, this the Lord's abode. Purport, the highest perfection of life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life. This perfection of life is made possible by one who has learned the actual transcendental nature of the Lord from the Vedic hymns sung by a liberated soul like Sukadeva Goswami. So the highest perfection attained because he heard from a self-realized soul. And therefore, he had perfect knowledge. There is no gain in hearing the Vedic hymns from some mental speculator when the same is heard from an actual self-realized soul and is properly understood by service and submission. Everything becomes transparently clear. So this was his perfection. He actually got transcendental knowledge because he heard. Thus, a submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of life. By scientific adoption, one is not able to remember the Lord even at the end of the life, when the power of remembrance is slackened due to derangement of bodily membranes. For common man, it's very difficult to remember things as they are at the time of death. But by the grace of the Lord and his bona fide devotees, the spiritual masters, one can get this opportunity without difficulty. And it was done in the case of Maharaj Prickett. At the end, Ante Kale Smaratam Tat Padambujam, the lotus feet of the Lord, he was able to remember. He didn't have run the risk of having misconceptions at the last moment of life. Does God exist? Is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Was this just another sect that I was in? Is Krishna's name non-different from him? Did I waste my life? Is the soul eternal? Is Krishna actually God? He didn't risk any misconceptions at the end of life because he dedicated his life to the trans.